7 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. intelligence sources say that what the Soviets are calling a disaster was more specifically a meltdown of one of their nuclear power plant reactors near Chernobyl. These sources say the meltdown happened on Saturday and the accompanying fire continues even now, burning out of control. The Soviets acknowledge two dead, but some estimates put the possible death toll at 1,000 times that number. And sources say the entire population for miles around the Ukrainian site has been evacuated. Some independent scientists dispute the diagnosis of a meltdown. Yale physics professor Alan Bromley says flatly there was no fuel meltdown. But as long as the fire continues, he says, there will be a continued release of radiation. The U.S. nuclear energy industry took a beating on the stock market today, an unwarranted beating, according to industry spokesman Carl Walsky.
Our situation is different enough so that the impact shouldn't be too great. We operate in a glass house in the United States. Our safety procedures are published, made available to the public, to our friends and the critics alike. We're overseen by a Nuclear Regulatory Commission in the Congress. And in addition to that, there's a different type of reactor.
But the Anti-Nuclear Union of Concerned Scientists says the Soviet experience has definite implications for us. Ellen Weiss is that group's general counsel.
Whatever the unique features of the Soviet design may be, it's important for Americans to understand that all nuclear reactors operate on the same fundamental principles, and all nuclear power plants, because they contain huge inventories of radioactive material, pose the same basic risk.
More news in a minute.
In my wandering days, all I needed was a road, my old Mercury, and this music on the radio. I may have settled down, but you'd never guess it by my car. It's a Mercury Sable, a wagon. But the way it's shaped, the way it handles, well, it's like no family car I've ever driven. It's just the car you need when you're ready to settle down, but not completely.
Mercury, the shape you want to be in.
If you need an occasional cup of coffee to keep going all day, you'll appreciate the May Bargain of the Month from True Value Hardware Stores. Hi, Pat Summerall to suggest the Corning Thermique Insulated Serving Carafe for only $9.99. This non-electric one-quart server keeps liquids warm for hours. Choose from White Swirl or the new Pastel Bouquet design. Get the May Bargain of the Month, a Corning Thermique Insulated Server for only $9.99 while supplies last at participating True Value Hardware Stores and Home Centers.
With the recovery of a second significant piece of wreckage from Space Shuttle Challenger's booster rockets, NASA says the search for the boosters is over. An announcement today said a salvage ship had returned from the Atlantic with the lower half of the burn-through joint area. The remains of the seven Challenger astronauts were transported today from the Kennedy Space Center to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. From there, they'll be turned over to their families. At an Army cemetery overlooking San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge, funeral ceremonies today for an American kidnapped and killed in Lebanon. A report from Barbara Taylor of CBS radio station KCBS.
Peter Kilburn was laid to rest on a grassy hillside at the Presidio National Cemetery, buried with full military honors. About 80 relatives and friends attended his funeral. His nephew, Tim Kilburn, read from the Bible and then made an appeal to the terrorists who continue to hold five Americans hostage in Lebanon.
We ask those people that are holding these men to let them go so they can be reunited with their families.
Reverend Benjamin Weir, a hostage himself for over a year in Lebanon, eulogized Kilburn as a peaceful man and a friend of the Lebanese people.
He hoped, he invested himself, but he suffered and then died a brutal death. We miss him deeply, and the world is poorer without him.
Kilburn was taken hostage in December of 1984, and his body was found shortly after the United States attacked Libya. Barbara Taylor for CBS News, San Francisco.
Every day I'm on the line, and it's my responsibility to make sure that the office functions the way it should. That's why I rely on Kelly, because I know that I can get the job done.
Are you familiar with Kelly's testing in the data entry operator area?
Yes, I've actually had the opportunity to go into Kelly, go through the testing process. I was really impressed with it.
Did you actually take the test yourself?
Yes, I did. Needless to say, I didn't do real well, but that's what actually sold me on the system.
Because you knew the people would be qualified? stamp on it?
Right.
Nobody puts their phrase to the test like Kelly.
No, they don't. That's why we've stuck with Kelly. I wasn't aware that they actually went to such lengths, so it shows that they're standing behind their commitment.
Kelly services the Kelly Grill people.
Right. I'm real pleased with Kelly, and I just can't say enough about Kelly. I think
sure you can. Go ahead.
Sure I can. I think they're great. They're always there to help.
And now, personal computer word processing is still another area for which Kelly provides tested temporaries. Call us. Nobody puts temporaries to the test like Kelly.
The Federal Housing Administration is telling lenders to stop taking applications for government-insured mortgages because FHA has hit its credit limit, $57.4 billion. The House approved a bill to raise the ceiling, and late today the Senate passed a slightly different measure. A compromise is necessary before new FHA mortgages will be available. Authorities in Pullman, Washington say preliminary tests indicate a significant level of cyanide in the body of Sandy Lynn Gregory, the 20-year-old woman who died suddenly over the weekend after taking two Tylenol capsules. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Six in the nation's heartland will have Twins baseball from the House of Ruth build in New York, Yankee Stadium, in about 3.5 minutes here on CCO. Right now, let's trip on over to the Weather Center and find out about this soggy forecast.
Ah, yes, the rain's moving out of New York, but it's moving into the Twin Cities. Yeah, we got some rain moving in. Low-pressure system is building in from the southwest, and already on the radar picture, we are seeing some numerous scattered showers right now across most of southeastern Minnesota, the Twin Cities, and western Wisconsin. Most of the showers are on the light side, but later on tonight, as the center of the low moves in, the showers will become heavier, and we will have some thunderstorms later on tonight. And it looks like tomorrow, as the actual low-pressure system moves through, we will have some numerous showers and thunderstorms during the morning hours, especially here across eastern Minnesota, western Wisconsin. But during the afternoon, we should get some clearing tomorrow across the area. It's going to be a bit on the blustery side. We'll have northwest winds up to about 30 miles an hour, but we will have some sunshine building in tomorrow afternoon, and that should pretty much give us highs tomorrow in the 60s across most of the area, some 70s possible in the eastern Dakotas. As far as our own Twin Cities forecast, it'll be cloudy tonight. We're going to see the showers continue, and later on tonight they will get heavier and possibly some thunderstorms later on tonight as well. We're looking for a low tonight right around 53. Then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms mainly in the morning, some partial clearing in the afternoon, a little bit windy tomorrow afternoon. The high tomorrow about 65, and then just remaining clear to partly cloudy for tomorrow night and Thursday. Low tomorrow night about 43, and the high Thursday with some sunshine about 66 degrees, but possibly even a little bit warmer than that. Southeast winds at 10 to 20 tonight, and north to northwest winds at 10 to 25 and gusty tomorrow, especially in the afternoon hours. Around the area right now, we have Rochester with some rain and 62, partly cloudy, 63, International Falls, Duluth right now, cloudy and 66, and Jim Nebish, Minnesota, partly cloudy and 63.
I see.
Well, you know, you hear, actually. In the Twin Cities right now, barometer 29.85 inches and rising. Southeast winds at 9, gusting up to 15. Relative humidity, 48%. We got some scattered showers, some heavier than others, and it's currently 65 degrees.
Michael, I know you've been in touch with the situation. The showers seem to be moving out of the New York area right
now.
Yeah,
cool front moved through there.
What's the forecast for the balance of the night? Do you think we'll be able to get the whole ball game in?
I think skies have become partly cloudy. There may be a few sprinkles a little bit later on tonight, but by far, most of the rain is out of the area. And should remain out of the area. Most of the rain now moving off to sea.
All right, very good. We'll meet you back here for a complete update right after the Twins ball game, coming up in 1 minute here on CCO, your sports leader in the Twin Cities.
Thank you.
the Yankees have just taken the field defensively in New York, and it looks like we're going to get this one in after all tonight. Let's go back for the complete play-by-play story from Herb Carneal and Joe Angel.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel and Herb Carneal at Yankee Stadium. We'll have some pregame comments right after our national anthem. With the Twins and the Yankees about to open a three-game series. Left-hander Ron Guidry out there warming up as the Yankees have taken the field defensively. Of course, the Yankees, who have had their way with the Twins the past couple of years, last season they won 9 out of 12, including 6 in succession here at Yankee Stadium. In fact, they have a 7-game winning streak against the Twins here in New York, dating to the final game back in 1984. So the Twins will be trying to turn that around. And to give you the lineups again very quickly for the Twins, it'll be Kirby Puckett in center field leading off, then Billy Beane in left, Herbeck at first, Brunansky will be in right field, Smalley will be at third, Sanchez the DH, Laudner the catcher, Lombardozzi at second, and Gagne will be at shortstop. And for the Yankees, it'll be Ricky Henderson leading off in center field, Ken Griffey in left field hitting number 2, Don Mattingly at first base hitting 3rd, Mike Easler will DH and bat 4th, Dave Winfield in right field will hit number 5, Ron Hassey will do the catching hitting 6th, Mike Pagliarulo will be at third base batting 7th, Willie Randolph will be at second base batting 8th, and the shortstop Bobby Meacham will hit 9th. The umpires, Steve Palermo back of the plate with Larry Young, Ken Kaiser, and Terry Cooney all on the bases. Ron Guidry, left-hander, is perfect so far this year. 3 wins and no losses, and an outstanding ERA of 1.29. Guidry, on 2 previous occasions, has gotten off to 3-0 starts, but you may be interested to know that Ron Guidry has never gotten off to a 4-0 start. Let's see if we can say that again after the game. As this one is about to get underway, and so with the play-by-play, let's get right over to Herb Carneal. Herb?
Well, thank you very much, Joe, and hi again, everybody. And so we get this ball game started about 40 minutes late after the rain delay, the first of 3 here with the Yankees and the Twins, and then on to Detroit for 3 games. And stepping into the batter's box, the player of the week in the American League, Kirby Puckett, who for the past week hit at a .462 clip. He has now hit in 11 games in a row, and for the year batting .363. Guidry's first pitch of the ball game is a breaking ball a little bit high. Ball one. .63, light breeze out of the south as we start the game, and here's Guidry's next pitch, a fastball, swing and a miss. 1-1. Kirby Puckett, who leads the majors in home runs with 7, he has knocked in 14 runs. Leading the league in RBIs, Brown Downing and Jose Canseco, Downing of California and Canseco of the Oakland A's. There's that slider inside the Puckett for a ball that's 2-1. George Bell of Toronto has 17. Larry Parrish and Don Slott of Texas, 16. Don Mattingly of the Yankees, 14 ribbies, and then Puckett with 14. Here's Guidry's pitch. swing and a high foul out of play on the right field line. 2 balls and 2 strikes to count. Ron Guidry coming off a complete game 5 days ago when he held Cleveland to just 1 run. And that's been the Yankees' only complete game of the year thus far at 18. Tommy Kelly coaching at third. Wayne Tulick at first. Here's the windup by Guidry and the pitch on the way. A fastball swung on and a high fly ball to right field. Dave Winfield camps under it, waits, and makes the catch, one away. Ron Hassey behind the plate for New York. Mike Pagliarulo at third base. Bobby Meacham, the shortstop. Willie Randolph at second. Don Mattingly at first. Ken Griffey, Ricky Henderson, and Winfield in the outfield. And now Billy Beane, who had a couple of brief flings across the way with the New York Mets, on the disabled list with the Twins with the injured shoulders. Only had 3 at-bats. He's 0-for-3, and Guidry's first pitch to him is high for a ball. Number 20, right-handed batting Billy Beane with 1 out, nobody on. Here's Guidry to the windup, the pitch, a fastball swung on, line drive, base hit into left field. Near the line, Griffey over to head it off, and Beane will go to second. Now as Griffey had fumbled the ball, and he slides in safely. So it should be a hit and an error. Griffey had trouble finding the handle on the baseball, and Beane ends up on second base. It'll be a single for Beane. Charge Griffey, the left fielder, with an error as he had difficulty picking the ball up. So the Twins get a man in scoring position with 1 out in the first inning. And now Ken Herbeck steps in, batting .303 with 6 doubles, 1 homer, and 9 runs batted in. Number 49, Ron Guidry, out of the set. Delivers a breaking ball outside. Ball one. Steve Palermo, the ball and strike umpire. Larry Young calling him at first base. Ken Kaiser at second, and Terry Cooney at third. And the pitch. Fastball missed outside. It's ball two.
Herb, I want to correct myself. I think I'd mentioned that Ron Guidry had never gotten off to a 4-0 start. Well, he won his first 13 games 1 year, but I think what I should have added, but he has never won his first 4 decisions in his first 5 starts off that quick of a start.
Oh, there's a high slider that's called a strike on Herbeck. 2 balls and 1 strike to count.
Remember that year he started out 13-0?
Ended up 25-3?
Yeah.
What a year. Unbelievable. And he made believers out of a lot of people. They thought maybe that he'd gone over the hill a couple of years ago, but he came back with a 22-6 record last year. Outside fastball, and Herbie pops it up. May have broken the bat. Mattingly at first base, halfway up on the dirt, will make the catch. So Herbeck really didn't have a good cut at that pitch as he popped it up. 2 down, it'll bring up Tom Bernanski.
He may not have broken his bat on the swing, but I think he may have broken it when he slammed it down to the turf.
Made sure.
He has a tendency to do those things.
Ron Guidry, who in 1984 won 10 and lost 11. His poorest season by far with the Yankees, but an excellent year last year, 22-6. Tom Bernanski hitting .286, 4 homers, 13 RBIs. Swings at a fastball, beats it foul off his foot. Well, that had a smart 1 strike to count. No score, top of the first inning. About a 40-minute rain delay. And right now, Billy Beane leading at second base with 2 out. 1 strike to Tom Bernanski. Ron Guidry, 34 years old, native of Lafayette, Louisiana. Here's the pitch on the way. And there's that sinking fastball that's fouled off to the right on the ground. No balls and 2 strikes. Ron Guidry, who may have lost just a little bit off his fastball, but he still has a good hard sinking type fastball and an outstanding slider or a hard curveball, if you want to call it that. Basically, he'll keep the ball down. And here's a broken bat. 1 hop liner out to Willie Randolph. And Bernanski's out. So another broken bat, and Bernanski's out second to first. No runs for the Twins. 1 hit, 1 Yankee error, 1 left. First half inning, the Twins nothing, New York nothing.
What do you suppose is your most precious business asset? Is it your plant? Your machinery? Your inventory? At Northwestern Bell, we believe the most precious asset of any business today is brain power. Because successful businesses thrive on new ideas. And new ideas thrive on information. Which is why Northwestern Bell developed Digicom Services. Digital transmission so sophisticated and so reliable, it can accurately transmit massive amounts of information at speeds up to and beyond 1.5 million bits per second. Digicom moves more information to your people faster, so they have more time to think about it. After all, when your most precious asset is brain power, you certainly can't afford to skimp on thinking time. Digicom Services from Northwestern Bell. Nobody knows more about tomorrow than we know today.
Escape from the ordinary and make your way to Taco Bell and the 50 ways to leave your burger game. Play and you could win any of 50 exciting prizes like a jet ski, hang glider, even a trip to Tahiti where there are no burgers. Or win savings on delicious Taco Bell food instantly. So leave those burgers behind and come to Taco Bell. It could be the escape of a lifetime.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be 16 or older to play. See complete rules at a participating Taco Bell restaurant. Game ends June 1st, 1986.
That's it, you in there?
Come in, Paul. I'm in the sewing room.
You know we can't get this country started until the flag is finished. Betsy, that's beautiful. Blue, white, red stripes. I haven't seen colors that bright since I visited the Mott store.
Mott?
Mott's paint. Over 1,000 colors with such superior durability. Why, I won't have to repaint my colonial for years.
Mott's. Because all paints are not created equal.
Colorful Mott's paints. Paul, I simply revere your taste.
See Nelson's wall covering and paint, 6570 University in the Holly Shopping Center, Fred Lee, and Craftsman painted wallpaper, 3752 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis.
Boston, no score. At the end of two, California and the Blue Jays tied at 1-1, McCaskill against Eba. At the end of two, the Tigers have taken a 1-0 lead over Kansas City. Dennis Leonard with a record of 2-1 against Frank Tanana, his record 2-1. At the end of one, Baltimore and the Chicago White Sox no score. McGregor against Nelson. Later getting underway, Cleveland will be at Texas and Oakland at Milwaukee. In the National League, at the end of seven innings now, the Mets have come from behind and they've taken a 9-5 lead over the Atlanta Braves as they came up with two in the fifth inning, three in the sixth, and picked up two more in the seventh inning. Darryl Strawberry with a three-run homer in the sixth inning, and so the Mets have now taken the lead in that one by a score of 9-5 through seven in Atlanta. Later, let's see, no other games underway in the National League. And in the International League, the Toledo Mud Hens, after three innings, lead Richmond by a score of 2-0. Here we go, bottom half of inning number one. The Yankees will send up Henderson, Griffey, and Mattingly.
Ricky Henderson batting just .239 on the year, but he leads the league in stolen bases with 15. He's had one homer and seven runs batted in. Number 24, Ricky Henderson. And officially, the delay of the game was 38 minutes because of the rain. John Butcher trying for his first win of the year and his first win ever over the Yankees. 0-5 lifetime, 0-2 last year. Ricky Henderson, who for the sixth time led the league in stolen bases last year with 80, takes a high fastball, ball one. One ball and no strikes. Tim Laudner starting his first game behind the plate for the Twins. Puts a sign down for Butcher. The outfield slightly towards left on Ricky Henderson. Out of that deep crouch. And he swings. It's a bouncing ball to the left side. Grabbed by Gagne. The throw to first base is just in time. Good stretch by Herbeck. And a short the first foot out to get Ricky Henderson. Next will be number 33. Ken Griffey playing in left field. Batting .298 with one homer and seven runs batted in. Twins with Smalley at third base tonight. Gagne at short. Lombardozzi at second. Herbeck at first. Bean in left field. Puckett in center. Bernanski in right. Pretty good part for a fly ball pitcher if you can keep the hitters from pulling the ball. It's only 312 down the left field line. Only 310 down the right field line. And there's a strike call to Griffey. then it's straightaway left, it's 379. Straightaway right, 353. Power right center, 385. Left center, 411. As Butcher delivers high and outside, 1-1. And according to the dimensions here, the power alley in left center, 411, is 1 foot deeper than the straightaway center field wall, 410. That's about 9 feet high around the outfield. No score in the bottom of the first inning. Here's the windup by John Butcher and the pitch. Breaking ball is low, and it's 2-1. 2-1. John Butcher making his fifth appearance. 30 innings, 14 earned runs and 26 hits, 10 walks, 16 strikeouts. There's a fastball hit on the ground and gloved nicely by Lombardozzi, and he throws to first for the out. Good play by Lombardozzi, well to his left to come up with that ball and throw Griffey out. So off to the kind of the start you like to see John Butcher get off to, and that's having the batters hit the ball on the ground. Number 23, Don Mattingly, batting at 284. His only extra base hits thus far have been four doubles. He's knocked in 15 runs. Last year, led the league in a number of offensive categories. Most impressive, which was his RBI total of 145. Hit 35 home runs last year as Butcher delivers to him. And a fastball strike on the outside corner. 35 home runs last year for Mattingly. Has not hit a home run this year, but going back to last year, he hit not a home run either until May the 5th, and then ended up with 35. It's a high fly ball to left field. Bill Bean under it out there waiting, and the left fielder Bean makes the catch. A 1-2-3 inning. One complete, Twins nothing, Yankees nothing.
What can you buy with $7 today? Movie for two with popcorn, or a small pizza with cheese? So when someone offers you $7, you take it, right? That's why you should take advantage of AC Delco's Big Spring Rebates. You get a quarter back on every AC spark plug. With a limit of eight, that's $2. And AC oil filters, a buck back on each, limits two, so there's another $2. And get a $1.50 rebate on every AC air filter. With a limit of two, that's three more dollars. So the rebates total $7. And to get them, just pick up a rebate coupon and details from a participating retailer. Or call 1-800-AC-DELCO for a retailer near you. If you're going to keep your car running right, do it with quality AC Delco parts and get some money back. Then go ahead and see what $7 still buys. AC Delco's Big Spring Rebates end June 28th. Allow 90 days for rebates. Void where prohibited.
Amoco presents the Amoco Sports Profile.
We're here with Chainsaw Esposito, living sports legend Chainsaw. Who are your idols?
FDR, JFK, and Francois Truffaut.
Fascinating favorite hobbies?
Needlepoint, Canasta, and Amoco Premium Lead-Free Gasoline.
Interesting. How do you keep fit?
Hopscotch.
Amazing favorite color?
Amoco Premium Lead-Free Gasoline.
Why's that?
It's great gasoline, ma'am.
Of course. Favorite song?
Green Sleeves.
And what's in the future for Chainsaw?
I want to go where no player on my team has ever gone before. The end zone.
Amoco, your car knows.
For complete coverage of today's game, read tomorrow's edition of the Star and Tribune. Remember, the Star and Tribune, they never miss a play.
Roy Smalley leading it off for the Twins. Batting 303 with five doubles, a triple, and three homers. Roy's knocked in 10 runs. He's 0 for 4, batting right-handed. Sanchez on deck and Laudner to follow. And it'll be station break time here in just a moment. As Ron Guidry into the windup delivers, Smalley takes a strike, nothing and one. Ron Guidry with an outstanding lifetime record. He has won 157 games and lost only 68. Here's the pitch. Outside and lower ball. 1-1 now to Smalley. Guidry twice a winner over the Twins last year to up his lifetime record at 16-4 against Minnesota. Fastball fouled away. Let's pause 10 seconds now where you hear the Twins.
This is the good neighbor to the Northwest, now broadcasting in AM stereo. WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's 7:30, showers and 65.
One ball and two strikes. Here's the windup by Guidry. And the pitch swung on, grounded foul just outside of third base. Count rides along and a ball and two strikes. Guidry, who last lost to the Twins in this ballpark in 1980. And the pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball to short. Up with it is Meacham to throw to first base for the out. Short to first to get Smalley. It'll bring up Alex Sanchez starting his first game. Alex so far 0 for 5 as a batter. Twins, of course, aren't the only team that the Yankees and Guidry pick on in this ballpark. Guidry last year at Yankee Stadium was 13-2, 9-4 on the road. And the Yankee Ball Club won 58 and lost only 22 last year. They got off to a fairly slow start, but gave the Blue Jays a run for their money before it was over. And the first pitch is low to Sanchez, ball one. Yankees won 97 games last year, lost 64, finished two behind the Blue Jays. And the pitch. There's the strike, 1-1. Mentioned that the Twins lost all six games here last year. Well, the Orioles did even worse. Baltimore played seven times here last year and lost them all. The Western Division team with the best record here last year, the White Sox, they were able to win two out of six. Pitch is low for a ball. As the Yankees went 36-6 here last year against Western Division teams. No score, top of the second inning with one out and nobody on. 2-1 to count to number 18, Alex Sanchez, with Tim Laudner on deck. Guidry okays Hasse sign. The left-hander winds and delivers. Fastball swung on at a high fly ball to deep right center field. Henderson moving over into right center to make the cut. Two up and two down, and now Tim Laudner. Starting his first game as the Twins face their first left-handed starter. In 11 and a fraction innings so far this year against left-handers, the Twins have been able to score only two runs. And Laudner, as a batter, has only had two appearances. Tim 0 for 2. First pitch to him is a fastball laid right in there for a strike. Nothing in one. One strike to Tim Laudner with two out, nobody on, and no score in the second. Guidry's pitch, change is outside. One ball and one strike. Twins with a record of 8-11 in the Western Division. They trail first place California by four. There's a strike. One ball and two strikes to count. Ball really going down. Laudner steps out to ponder his situation right now. Behind on the count to Guidry. One ball and two strikes. There's the windup and the 1-2 delivery. Fastball swung on, fouled away. The Yankees doing pretty well at the gate thus far. They're averaging about 26,000. They've drawn 261,000 thus far. Last year they drew 2,000,002. The best year, they drew 2,000,006. As Laudner hits a high fly ball to left center field, deep, back goes Henderson, way back, way, way back, and that one's gone over the left center field fence. Long home run for Tim Laudner, just to the right of the 4-11 sign out in left center field. He really put the wood to that ball. It carried and carried and cleared the left center field fence. So Laudner, on his third at bat, homers to put the Twins in the lead 1-0. Laudner hit one. That had to go about 430 feet as it cleared the barrier between the 411 and the 410 sign. Only his third at bat this year. And here's Lombardozzi. Swing, fly ball, hit down the left field line. That's carrying deep into the corner, the short way, and it's in the seats. Home run for Lombardozzi, who was hitting only 186. He pulled that ball the short distance right down the line. Lombardozzi. So it is now a 2-0 ball game. Lombard with his first major league home run, and how about that? We have another situation where on consecutive pitches, they have been home runs. And that is a highly unlikely happening against a fellow like Ryan Guidry. Guidry had given up only one home run in 29 and two-thirds innings before these two. And here's Gagnea. Looks at a slider strike. Gagnea batting .237. He has one home run. Hit at the Metrodome. 2-0. Twins leading here in the top of the second inning. Twins now with 27 home runs for the season. And there's a well-hit ball into deep left center field. Griffey on the run, and he can't get it. Bounces off the wall in left center. Gagnea around second on his way to third, and he'll duck back to second. He put on the brakes, almost fell, and scrambles back to second with a long double as he bounced one off the wall just to the left of the 4-11 sign. So Guidry, who was breezing along for an inning and two-thirds, all of a sudden has given up home run, and a long double. And Sammy Ellis, the pitching coach for the Yankees, is going to the mound to have a talk with Ryan Guidry. That's really amazing. Guidry, who doesn't give up a lot of home runs. Well, I remember a few years ago at the Metrodome in one game, he did give up four home runs to the Twins, but you got to hit the ball a little farther, especially in the alley here in New York, to hit one out, as Tim Laudner did. And then Lombardozzi pulled his down the line, and Gagnea hit his in the deep power alley in left center for a double.
Yeah, he had that one game against the Twins when he gave up home runs, as you mentioned, four of them. But last season against Detroit, he gave up five in one game. That is his career high for a single game. I guess when they come in bunches, huh? Of course, against Ryan Guidry, you take him whenever you can get him.
That's right. And, of course, Tiger Stadium, that's kind of a likely spot where you might give up the most home runs.
Fly ball home runs.
Here's Puckett. He fly to right his first time up. 2-0 Twins in the second with Gagnea on second and two out. Guidry's low fastball, long drive in the center field. It's deep, but it's in the park, and it'll be caught by Henderson in deep center field. That was a low pitch. It was kind of golfed at by Puckett. He gave it a good ride, but the pitch was down, and he hit it about 375 feet to center field. Two runs, three hits, one left, and after an inning and a half, the Twins two and the Yankees nothing.
Do you have the same old homeowner's insurance policy you've had ever since you bought your home? Well, if so, Farmers Insurance Group of Companies suggests that you may be paying too much for too little protection. So compare your present policy with Farmers' new Protector Plus policy. Does your policy guarantee replacement cost of your home? Does it have an automatically increasing limit on its contents? Or higher limits of protection for certain personal property? Compare, and you'll discover that Protector Plus provides more protection per premium dollar. So phone your fast, fair, and friendly Farmers agent. Find out if your home qualifies for this outstanding Protector Plus policy.
And remember, your Farmers insurance agent in St. Paul is Dave Rondo. In Richfield, it's Gene Freed. In Forest Lake, it's Ken Simonson. And in Edina, it's Tim King. Remember, play it smart. Be sure and call your nearby Farmers agent real soon.
Grow with us, the good tree to come to, for strength and stability. Save with us, plan with us, we're all you need us to be.
So come talk with us, dream with us, we're growing your way.
And build for tomorrow today.
The latest on the NFL draft, it is still in the seventh round. In the seventh round, the Vikings have selected Carl Hilton, who is a tight end, and we are told a good one, out of Houston. Green Bay Packers, by the way, have just picked in the seventh round Ed Berry, who is a defensive back from Utah State. We'll have more as the game progresses.
From Yankee Stadium with Joe Angel, this is Herb Carneal, our engineer, Bill DaCosta, and the Twins leading 2-0. Mike Easler leading off for the Yankees here in the second. Butch's first pitch is swung on, and he pops it high in the air to center field. Not too deep. Puckett is under it, waiting. Kirby Puckett has it, one away. One pitch and one out. Easler batting .236, four doubles, eight RBIs, flies to center. Acquired from the Red Sox earlier this season in the swap for Don Baylor. And now Dave Winfield batting .284. Dave with five doubles, a triple, a homer, nine runs batted in. And he's been hot of late. He's had 6 hits in his last 10 times up. Number 31, Dave Winfield. Angels at Toronto tonight. They're tied at 1 after 2 innings. Kirk McCaskill against Dave Steeve, who's looking for his first win of the year. And the pitch, fastball inside, 1-0. Tigers 1, the Royals nothing after 2.5 of Detroit. Tanana against Leonard. And the pitch, breaking ball, strike at the knees, 1-1. The Yankees have played the world champion Royals 6 times thus far and won 5. They swept the Royals in Kansas City in a 3-game series. Here's the lineup by Butcher and the pitch. Breaking ball, a beauty in there. Nice curveball by John Butcher. 1-2. Gene Michael coaching at third. Roy White at first base. Joe Altobelli, Jeff Thorborg, Sammy Ellis on the coaching staff here with New York. Swing and a miss by Winfield at a breaking ball down and away. Good location by Butcher on that pitch. And he strikes out Winfield, John's first strikeout tonight. 2 down, it'll bring up the catcher, Ron Hassey. Hassey batting 235 with a homer and 5 runs batted in. Former Twin Butch Weiniger has been suffering with a pulled groin muscle. And Ron Hassey, originally signed by the Cleveland Indians, he's been with the Cubs. And went to the White Sox, back to the Yankees. Swings at the sinker and didn't get it. 0-1. Hassey with New York last year did a good job. Appeared in 92 games and hit .296 with 13 home runs. 33 years old, left-handed batter, and Butcher's pitch is swung on and pulled to the right side. Bounces nicely for Lombardozzi. A flip over to Herbeck for the out. 1-2-3 inning. And after 2, it's the Twins 2 and the Yankees nothing.
Taste that makes Budweiser the king of beers.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Protect your car with a Wix oil filter from CarQuest. Buy 2 Wix filters and get an Igloo Little Playmate 6-pack cooler for only $1.99 while supplies last. Details on how you may win a custom Chevy S10 Blazer at participating CarQuest auto parts stores.
It feels good when you finish what you start. We make it easy to work on your car. The right parts at the right price. CarQuest, the right place to buy auto parts.
Seatbelts save lives. Evie Teagan of the Minnesota Seatbelt Coalition talks with Charlie and Raj bright and early tomorrow morning at about 8:20 on CCO about the importance of seatbelts and saving lives. It's Project Lifesaver.
Well, the Twins with a 2-0 lead. Here as we go to the third inning. And we continue with the ball game, feeling a lot better, getting a good night's rest here in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Partner Joe Angel.
Billy Bean leads off, and he swings, and he lines a base hit to left field. Bean jumping on Guidry's first offering in the third. And so Billy Bean is now 2-for-2. Couple of line drive singles. Bean looking very aggressive up there right now. He's on the bases. It'll bring up Kent Herbeck. Yes, they gave me a room situated right next to the elevators. So it's really nice being able to hear that elevator bell throughout the entire night. The ice machine is just down the hall, so that's nice.
Well, I told you to drink a lot of water.
Yeah, but I didn't want to dream about it. Here's Herbie's 0 for 1, a check swing pop-up in the infield, his first time up, and he swings and he grounds it to right field, a base hit. Bean, on his way to second, hangs on right there as Winfield gets it back in. Well, the ball was not hit very sharply, but it found a hole. That one between Mattingly and Randolph on the right side, so a couple of base hits. Twins have runners on first and second with nobody out. It'll bring up Tom Brunansky. Bruno's 0 for 1, retired on a ground out to Randolph in the first inning. Brunansky with a batting average of .286, four home runs and 13 RBIs. Twins in front, 2-0. Yankees will now play the infield double play depth. Then Ron Guidry will go to work on Brunansky. Left-hander looks in for a sign again as Bruno digs in. There's a stretch by Guidry, the pitch on the way, a breaking ball in there for a call strike. Brunansky looked at it, and the count 0-1. The Yankees, of course, with a record of 12-6 right now in the Eastern Division, and on top they have a 2.5 game lead over Boston, Cleveland, and Detroit. Now Guidry going to work again. He looks at Bean getting his lead at second. The pitch on the way, misses low and outside. Count even up at 1-1. Of course, pennants are not won in April, as a lot of teams can attest to, but he certainly can go a long way towards losing pennants in the month of April, as the Yankees have found out the past couple of years. Here's Guidry's 1-1 delivery, a swing and a miss. He blew a fastball by him. One ball and two strikes to count. Remember, a couple of years ago in April, the Yankees won 8 and lost 13. And by the end of April, they were already 10.5 games behind the Tigers. Last season, they were 6-12 at the end of April and trailed the Blue Jays by 6 games. So they had to come from behind and didn't quite make it. In fact, the month of April has been a very interesting barometer for the Yankees ever since the beginning of divisional play. There's Tom Brunansky waiting very patiently up at the plate. Guidry looks in for a sign again. The left-hander says yes. Now he backs off the rubber. Well, it's a waiting game going on out there. In fact, beginning with the 1976 season, whenever the Yankees played at least .500 baseball in the month of April, they've gone on to win the Eastern Division title. Here's a pitch to Bruno. A swing and a fly ball to left center field. Griffey racing over in the gap. He will get there to make the catch. Runners holding. Bean bluffing at second base, but goes right back. So out number one. That'll bring up Roy Smalley. Smalley 0 for 1 on a ground out. Smalley getting a chance to hit right-handed for one of the few times this season. Of course, the Twins have seen nothing but right-hand pitching until tonight, Ron Guidry being the first left-hander they faced. And Smalley in the game defensively at third base. And here with a batting average of .303, three home runs and 10 RBI. Twins in front, 2-0. On back-to-back home runs by Laudner and Lombardozzi in the second inning. Guidry, peering over, gets a sign, says yes. And the Yankee left-hander comes home. And deals a call strike, picked up the inside corner. Alex Sanchez waits on deck. Smalley digs in, Guidry ready, and here's the 0-1 delivery. A change is popped up in the infield as Mattingly comes over near the mound. He waves Guidry away, and Mattingly makes the catch. So, with two gone, runners remain at first and second. It'll bring up Sanchez. Sanchez had been to bat only 5 times coming into the game here tonight. He had struck out 4 times, and the other time he had hit into a double play. In the second inning of this game, he flied to center, hit the ball well, but it stayed in the park. Well, Sanchez still looking for hit number 1 as a Twin. Let's see if he can come through in this situation with runners on first and second and 2 outs. Guidry will go to work on him. The Yankee left-hander off to a 3-0 start. Here's the pitch. There's a line drive, base hit to center field. Billy Bean on his way to third. He's going to come in to score. Now the ball gets by Ricky Henderson in center field. Here comes Herbie around third. They wave him in. There's no throw. And Sanchez Sanchez goes all the way to third. So the miscue by Henderson in center field has cost the Yankees at least one run, and maybe more depending on what Sanchez does at third base from now on. Should have been only a single, but Henderson let the ball get by him in center field. As he raced in towards the infield, he tried to come up with an in-between hop and let the ball go right through his legs. My goodness. So Sanchez will get a single and the RBI. Herbeck scores on the error by Henderson. And now Tim Laudner will come up to hit his first time up. He got all of one, hit it about 430 feet. Home run to center field. Here's a pitch. And it's high and outside, a ball. 1-0. So the Twins now in front by a score of 4-0. Got a big break here. Now the pitch. Laudner takes high. Two balls, no strikes to count. Lombardozzi on deck. Guidry with a lifetime record of 16-4 against the Twins. Here's the pitch, and Laudner had ideas. He took a breaking ball for a called strike on 2-0. No, he wouldn't give in to Laudner on 2-0. He came in with a pretty good breaking ball, and Laudner did a good job of laying off it. Now the 2-1 pitch on the way. High and outside, 3-1. And I would imagine that taking into consideration how Laudner hit Guidry his first time up, Timmy will be looking for a pitch he can drive here on 3-1. Guidry with the pitch on the way. A fastball is swung on and missed. A good sinking fastball. He wouldn't give him a fastball on 2-0, but he did give him one on 3-1. So they're going all the way. Three balls and two strikes. Laudner digs in, and the payoff on the way. High and outside. He walked him. So runners on first and third with two outs. It'll bring up Lombardozzi as Guidry has surrendered his first walk. Now Lombardozzi, who put one in the seats directly down the left field line his first time up, is 1-for-1. His first major league home run. There's a stretch by Guidry, a look at first, and a changeup bounces into Ron Hassey. Good block. Ball one. Guidry now 35 years of age. He's going to be 36 in August. 5'11", 157 pounder. So he's a little bit on the small side, but he generates a lot of power. In his 11th year in the major leagues, out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Hence the nickname Louisiana Lightning. Left-hander looks at first base again. He comes home and he picks up a call strike on the inside corner. Count even up, 1-1. Three times in his career, Ron Guidry has been a 20-game winner in 1978 when he won 25. 1983, he won 21. And then last season, he won 22. Here's a pitch. Lombo swings and he fouls it back out of play. One ball and two strikes on Steve Lombardozzi. Two gone in the third inning. Two runs in. Twins in front, 4-0. Lombardozzi's batting average up over 200 now at 205. He came in at 186. Now the stretch and the pitch on the way is swung on and lifted a long way down the left field line, but he pulled it foul. Well, back in the seats, have the home run distance again. The count remains at a ball and two strikes.
Joe, and fans in that game at Cincinnati, Montreal has hit four home runs in the fourth inning.
Oh.
Andre Dawson, number six, Hubie Brooks, number five, they were back-to-back. Tim Wallach, number three, Mike Fitzgerald, number two, and the amazing thing, they hit him off Mario Soto, who is gone now. Joe Price is relieved.
So Soto paid the price. Guess you could say that. Guidry ready, working on Lombardozzi. Here's a pitch, swing and a miss, and he struck him out. Guidry getting his first strikeout, but in the third, the Twins come up with a couple of runs and three hits. There was one big error, and they leave two. And at the end of 2.5, the Twins now lead it 4-0.
Champion Auto Stores, wherever you live, wherever you drive, Champion saves you more.
Marion Auto Stores has the right product, the right prices, and the right answers. And right now's a great time to stop in at Champion Auto Stores during our top-of-the-line sale. You'll find great savings on all your automotive needs, like AC spark plugs. Your choice of standard resistor AC spark plugs for just 69 cents after rebate. AC spark plugs, original equipment on GM cars and trucks. Make AC spark plugs the choice for your driving needs. Champion Auto Stores carries a wide selection of AC spark plugs, and now's the best time to buy them at just 69 cents each after rebate. Champion Auto Stores' top-of-the-line sale ends Saturday, May 3rd. And don't forget, Champion Auto Stores is also your advanced ticket headquarters for Elko Speedway and Raceway Park.
Amoco presents the Amoco Sports Profile.
We're here with Jeff, the great Garant, famous French-Canadian hockey player. Jeff?
Hello.
Who are your idols?
Charles de Gaulle, Napoleon, and Bob, my dentist.
Fantastic. What keeps you going?
Amoco Premium Lead-Free Gasoline.
Great gasoline for the great Garant.
Oh, you could say that again.
Who's your favorite character in a play?
Oh, fuck, in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Predictable. And where do you go to relax?
Oh, in the penalty box, huh?
Amazing. What's your biggest obstacle?
Oh, the ice, huh? It's very slippery, huh? When I go out there,
Amoco,
it's very dangerous.
Your car knows.
Hey, realize there's something new from Japan. It's an exhibit at the Walker Art Center. And Martin and Mickey Friedman will talk about it at about 9:15 tomorrow morning with Charlie Boone on CCO Radio.
Well, John Butcher has been given a 4-0 lead here as we go to the bottom half of inning number 3, and the Yankees will send up the bottom of the order. It'll be Mike Pagliarulo leading off. He'll be followed by Willie Randolph and then Bobby Meacham as John Butcher has retired the first 6 men he has faced. And the good news about that is that three of the putouts have been on groundouts. A couple of fly balls and a strikeout so far. Mike Pagliarulo in here with a batting average of .204 has a couple of home runs and 6 RBIs. And Butcher misses. Low and outside. Ball one. Mike Pagliarulo, 26 years of age, in his second year in the major leagues, made his major league debut against the Twins a couple of years ago. Swings and misses. And that good sinker from John Butcher that tailed down and away from Pagliarulo, and the count even up at 1-1. Last season, Pagliarulo played in 138 games. Get a batting average of .239. There's a high fly ball. Well hit. Deep to right field. This one is way back. It's gone. It's in the upper deck. And it's a 4-1 game. Number 3 for Pagliarulo. His 7th RBI. He got all of it in the upper deck in right field. My goodness. Drafted by the Yankees in June of 1981. They came up with a reputation of being an outstanding defensive third baseman, and he has proven that reputation to be correct, but he has also done a good job with the bat. Here's Butcher working to Willie Randolph and misses high and outside. Ball one. Randolph hitting .308 with no home runs, 6 RBIs. Randolph, a guy who had a batting average of .425 against Minnesota pitching last season. In fact, he had 17 hits and 40 at-bats against the Twins. And he takes down below the knees. 2 balls and no strikes to count. Willie Randolph, last season, 5 home runs, 40 RBIs, and another very consistent year at second base. Then he takes a call, strike at the knees. That time Butcher able to pick up the inside corner. So the count 2-1. Interesting, he had 5 home runs last year, but 2 of them came in 1 game. That was against the Oakland A's early in September. Now the windup and the 2-1 pitch on the way. Randolph bluffing a bunt. Instead, he takes 2 high. Ball 3, 3-1. Give you a break in a moment here as Randolph dig in with a count of 3 balls and 1 strike. Twins in front, 4-1 in the bottom of the 3rd inning with no outs. And Butcher delivers. There's a ground ball left side, backhanded by Gagne. Off balance throw, it's off target. The ball getting away from Herbie, but only a couple of feet there, and Randolph will have the infield hit. doing of Bobby Meacham. Right now, we'll pause here 10 seconds for station identification where you hear the Minnesota Twins.